The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. In light of today's reading, in which Jesus laments over Jerusalem, I'd like to tell you a story from Jerusalem. One Friday morning in March, I woke up to the sun shining and weather that seemed almost summer-like. And as I stood on my balcony, overlooking the city with my coffee in hand, I thought, maybe it will be a quiet day. After all, it would be a tragedy to die on a day like this. You see, there had been a rash of terror attacks in the city that year, so many that you couldn't count them all. Well, that hopeful thought lasted until about 9 a.m. when once again Damascus Gate, just across the street from my house, erupted in gunfire and sirens. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long indeed? How long will the people of the holy city, central to three religions, be locked in an unholy system of inequality and the awful cycle of violence and counter-violence? How long will it be before young people have enough hope to see a day as beautiful as that Friday as reason enough to live? Jesus said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Now, these verses are added to the many scripture verses which took on new meaning in the time that I was able to work and live in Jerusalem. Nearly every day I found myself shaking my head and echoing that lament, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," even as I gave thanks for that opportunity to be there. But looking again at this text, I think what makes this scripture text even more powerful is that image of Jesus as a mother hen. This is the only feminine image of Jesus that we have in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is often referred to in the feminine, and we use both masculine and feminine terms for God the Creator. But here we encounter Jesus describing himself, Jesus the Son of God, describing himself as a mother bird who desires only to spread her wings and gather all the people of Jerusalem under their feathery protection. I like this feminine image of Jesus so much that I actually have a stole with a mother hen on it, with little chicks under it. I would wear it today, except it's the wrong color for Lent. You know how it is. I had ordered it before I ever lived in Jerusalem. I ordered it from Bethlehem, and it was sent to me in Chicago. And I was so proud to wear it on a Sunday morning, at least until one of the church members came up to me and said, "Pastor, I've been meaning to ask, where does it say anything about ducks in the scripture? Because I've been looking at those ducks on your scarf all day long, and I can't figure it out." The idea of Jesus as a mother hen in particular, stretches us a little bit, and yet there are others who have spoken of the feminine attributes of Jesus. The most famous is Julian of Norwich, a 14th century mystic who once wrote, "It is a characteristic of God to overcome evil with good." Jesus Christ, therefore, who himself overcame evil with good, is our true mother. We received our being from him, and this is where his maternity starts. And with it comes the gentle protection and guard of love, which will never cease to surround us. So Jesus, our mother hen, Jesus, our gentle protector and maternal guardian, Jesus who overcomes evil with good, this is a powerful and very welcome image of our Lord today, it seems to me, for our time and our context. When every day brings news we don't want to see, news of illegal firings, the rolling back of human rights, fear stoked at every opportunity, it's a great comfort to know the great and motherly love of Jesus. At the same time, while this image may be a comforting one, we must remember that it's not merely a comforting word. It cannot only be a soothing image. Jesus, after all, was also the one who turned over the tables. This image comes to us in the form of a lament, and we must hear it as such. When we read this text, we hear Jesus expressing both how much he loves us and how much sorrow and maybe frustration he has with us for what we've done to the world, how we humans have again and again rejected his love for all people. "O Jerusalem," he sighs, "how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." It's a lament over not only Jerusalem, but every city in every place. This is a lament over the human condition and the sorrows of the world. How long has God, our loving parent, been nurturing us and loving us? How long has God been sending us prophets only for us to reject them? How often has God taught us through the Holy Scriptures and prophets and other wise ones how to share the abundant resources of creation, to welcome the stranger and to choose life over death, only for us to throw stones at those who dare to hold a mirror to our ways? How often has God tried to gather all of God's children together as one brood, as one family, as one beloved creation, and we again and again have divided ourselves by race, by religion, by class, by gender, by sexuality? As the Son of God prepared to enter Jerusalem, he knew that that city and the world would want to reject him and kill him. And for this reason, he described his love for us as like a mother hen. Why? Because what does a mother hen do? With her very own body, a mother hen loves, protects, nurtures, and provides the necessary conditions for life. In the same way, it was Jesus' own body which would soon give new life to the world. So great, so extravagant, so motherly is his love for us that he would go all the way to the cross for his children. Now, in his book, Tattoos of the Heart, Father Gregory Boyle tells a powerful story which invokes this extravagant and motherly love. Father Boyle works with ex-gang members in Los Angeles, where his organization works, his organization Homeboy Industries teaches job skills and helps men and women find new life outside of gang culture. One day, Father Boyle is meeting with a 15-year-old boy, Rigo, at a county detention facility. Trying to get to know him, he asked about some basic stuff about his family and his life. First, he asked about his father. "Oh," Rigo says, "he's a heroin addict. He's never been part of my life. He used to beat me. In fact, he's in prison right now." "And your mom?" asked Father Boyle. Well, that's her over there. He paused for a beat. There's no one like her. I've been locked up for more than a year and a half, and she comes to see me every Sunday. Do you know how many buses she takes to see me every Sunday? And then quite unexpectedly, he sobs. 7 buses. She takes 7 buses to come see me. How better to imagine the expansive love of God for us? A God who takes 7 buses just to be with us. And this is the love of God we have in Jesus. It's the love of a mother who takes 7 buses every Sunday to reach her teenage son. The love of a mother hen who sits and sits and sits and sits, selflessly giving of her own body so others can have life. It's the love of a refugee father who puts his family on a boat or crosses a border to another country, risking everything for the sake of their future. In these days, there's a lot of talk about the state of Jerusalem and Gaza and the Holy Land in general. What will happen next for them? It doesn't look good. And there's also a sense in this country of an underlying helplessness, even hopelessness. What can we do? Where will the nonsense end? But Jerusalem, Jerusalem, do not give up hope. Cambridge, Boston, Somerville, do not give up hope. Do not think that Jesus, our brother, will walk away from us now. Do not think that Jesus, our mother, will forget her children now. The one who went all the way to the cross will not abandon us in our time of need. The love of God never gives up. This love never lets us go. Nothing will stop Jesus from giving the world new life. Not his doubting and nervous disciples, not the length of the journey, not the difficulty of the path, not systemic abuses of power, not our habit of solving problems with guns, not even Herod. For as Jesus said to the Pharisees who warned him about Herod, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm busy. I got stuff to do. I'm curing people. I'm casting out demons. If you want to kill me, get in line." Thanks be to God, Jesus did finish his work. He made it to Jerusalem. And with his own body, he provided salvation for us. Empowered by this saving work, let us pray for the strength and the courage to be witnesses to the extravagant love of Jesus Christ. He has not given up on us, and we will not give up on peace, justice, and equality for all the people of the world, for the whole brood, for all of his children who are gathered under Jesus' motherly protection. And let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.